Boeing makes a huge sale. Will that mean jobs here in the U.S.?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Usually when there's a signing ceremony and President Obama is there, he's the one doing the signing. Not today in Indonesia. The president stood watching as executives from airplane maker Boeing signed a deal to sell 230 airplanes to an Indonesian carrier called Lion Air. The White House claims the deal will create 110,000 jobs here in the U.S. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler fact-checks that number.
Boeing won't specify how many people will be hired, but spokesman Doug Alder says Boeing has added 12,000 new jobs this year, and it expects similar increases going forward.
So as we add jobs here, our suppliers have to keep up with us as we increase production, and that in turn causes them to add more jobs. So it's the ripple effect across the entire U.S. economy.
Spread across suppliers, experts say that figure of 110,000 jobs probably isn't far off.
I don't have a big problem with the arithmetic, but I do have a few academic quibbles.
That's Gary Huffbauer with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. His quibble is with the timeline.
These jobs are going to be over a period of years, probably at least 4 years.
Boeing says it will be more than a year before it even begins production of its new 737 MAX aircraft. So the deal may result in 110,000 jobs, just not overnight. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Well, it's going to be a busy weekend for the Congressional Super Committee. Lawmakers have just 5 days left to find $1.2 trillion in cuts to the deficit over the next 10 years. And it looks like there are three possibilities. A really impressive deal that gets the job done, a deal full of accounting tricks and rosy scenarios, or no deal at all. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live to talk about the consequences. Good morning.
Hi, Jeremy.
So, Amy, I guess the biggest fear here would be that another ratings agency looks at whatever Congress does and says that's not good enough, and they downgrade us again. Is that likely?
Well, that's right. This is a concern after Standard & Poor's knocked the U.S. credit rating from AAA to AA+ back in August. Chuck Gabriel with Capital Alpha Partners has been following this closely, and he told me it's not likely we'll see another downgrade, at least not right away.
The rating agencies have signaled that they are probably unlikely to downgrade further because there are in place mechanisms that would, after all, enforce a sequester or across-the-board set of spending cuts beginning in 2013.
That means automatic cuts that would be split between defense and non-defense spending. But if Congress tries to put off or somehow get out of those cuts, we could potentially see another downgrade.
And what difference does another downgrade make? Is there a difference with two downgrades as opposed to just one?
Well, the worry is that there would be a big sell-off of U.S. bonds. Pension funds and insurance companies and money market funds all have rules that require them to hold highly rated securities. But there is some flexibility in these rules. And another analyst I spoke to said there aren't a lot of alternatives to U.S. Treasuries right now with the European debt crisis.
Marketplace's Amy Scott joining us live. Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe and Asia this morning, down about 0.9% in London and about 2% lower in Hong Kong. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 134 points to close at 11,770.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
The latest numbers out of Somalia show hundreds of thousands of people are starving because of a famine that has already killed tens of thousands this year. Many Somalis have fled to refugee camps in Kenya, and as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports, it appears a new economy is starting up in the camps.
This is the sound of a permanent refugee camp. Schools, birthing centers, and convenience stores. This shack sprung up 2 months ago, built by Somali refugee Abdinasar Omar Ali. He hawks everything from shampoo packets to gumballs to spaghetti. thank the Italian colonialists for that.
I used to be a very well-known businessman in Somalia. I sold auto parts from Mogadishu to Dubai.
But in the last couple of years, Islamic extremists known as Al-Shabaab destroyed his business model.
They would come to my shop, value my items, and say, "You will pay us this much." Some businessmen gave 30% of their goods, others 50%.
This taxation is a key money source for Shabaab, as overseas support for the group has drifted away to jihadist battles elsewhere in Yemen and Saudi Arabia, says Tony Burns. He's with a Somali aid group.
Somalia has now become an economic backwater for international jihadis. Al-Shabaab has suffered accordingly. It is trying to raise new modes of taxation from within the indigenous population
and driving them out. Ali, the shop owner, packed up his wife and his 10 kids and paid smugglers $250 to get them out to Kenya. Here, he says his small business is already worth 50% more than when he started. Elsewhere in the camp, more entrepreneurs. A blacksmith, a tailor, a fruit seller. So many transplanted businessmen have left home. And yet, Somali-American Sadia Ali Aden clings to hope. She's just back from Mogadishu.
I met medical students. I met high school students. Mogadishu University became ranking 29th university in all of African colleges. This is the beauty of Somalia that people need to build on.
If and when peace comes to Somalia. Till then, hundreds of thousands of Somali entrepreneurs do their business on the outside. In the Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, to a man who is suing Bank of America for mixing up his account with another man of the same name and giving that man all his money. What was the easy-to-mix-up name? Konstantinos Alexopoulos. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.